Father, we bless you. Thank you very much for counting us worthy. Counting us worthy to come into your presence. And Lord, we can only do so, and we do so by the authority of the blood, because of the blood of Jesus, and because of the light and the life and the healing and the redemptive spirit of that blood. So we come under the shadow and banner of the blood, even today, as we acknowledge your presence and your glory. Lord, we submit ourselves to the ministry of the Spirit to lift us up even to that higher dimension, to the high dimensions of Zion, to the high dimensions of heaven, where we can hear the trumpet of God, the voice of God. We come into that realm where the voice of God is very clear. Lord, we bring our soul, we bring our senses under the power and authority, under the anointing of the Spirit. Lord, we will even put down that which is natural and carnal. For it said that flesh and blood cannot. So Lord, today we say we are not flesh and blood. We set aside that which is flesh and blood. And Lord, we come to quicken that which is of the Spirit, that spiritual dimensions of our being, that we might have fellowship with you, for you are Spirit, and they that worship you must worship you in Spirit and in truth. So Lord, we come to rebuke all that is carnal, all that is earthly, and all the workings of the enemy to keep us in our realm.
Yes, amen.
And to insist that we must be in our realm. And we speak to our soul. We say, O soul, O earth, hear the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
O earth, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh yes. The watchman, what of the night? The night coming and the day also. We say the time of the coming of the day upon you, soul, is now.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we come to rise up, and we say we must rise up to the ranks where you went from. He said to Moses, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim in the next. So we desire to come to that place of fellowship and communion with you. So we in your name we rebuke the spirit of the locust. This walking of the locust, this thing that comes from the bottom, from the depths. In all this walking, we say the Lord will rebuke you. The spirit of Abaddon and Apollyon. To the Lord rebuke you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We rebuke your hold over our soul. Amen. Yes, he said that we have sold ourselves unto you for nothing. Hallelujah. They say we shall be redeemed. And we have been redeemed by the blood. Oh yes, so he says, awake, O Zion. Awake and arise. We come to arise today. Hallelujah. Oh yes, blessed be the Lord. Lord, the people that are arising that are before you today, Lord, we have come as those who are arising, who are shaking themselves from the dust. We recognize the dust, but we recognize where you want us to be also, where you are taking us from. Lord, we have confidence in you to finish that which you have started.
Yes, amen.
Oh yes, and that is our confession, Lord. We look to the end. And we embrace the end, O God. I will confess to it. I will speak to it, O God. Hallelujah. I think we are pilgrims. And we do not have any abiding place in this realm of humanity. Blessed be your name. For as well, pour out your sweet spirit upon us. Through this sweet fragrance. Even this oil and the wine. Oh yes, fresh bread, oh God. Choice bread, hallelujah. Meat and bone, hallelujah. Even sticks, the very choicest one, oh God, hallelujah. You feed our soul. Satiate us, oh God, hallelujah. Give us strength to run and to rise, oh God. Strengthen us and give us the ability to rise in you, oh God. Yes, above all the gain and all the knowledge of the earthly business, oh God. Blessed be your name, Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, these are critical times. Amen. And I've been in the Revelation for some time. I'm just looking at Revelation 12. And you have to pardon me because I don't really have an organ. But I believe that there is something that the Lord is speaking.
Sorry, Dr. Joseph, can you speak up?
Oh, yes, don't mind me. It's all part of this. So I'm saying that I've been in Revelation for some time. And I'm looking at Revelation 12. And I was saying that there is a certain and definite word that the Lord is speaking at this time. Amen. And it's a critical time. And I think we have the opportunity to come into the place where we have not been before. The Bible says that, you know, when the voice of the Lord comes, that those who are in the graves, you know, will be raised up. I don't know how many people who are in the grave. I am in the grave condition. Amen. I'm in the prison condition. And I am believing that the voice of the Lord, you know, will raise me up. Amen. There are people who feel that you do not need the voice of the Lord. Amen. There are people who feel that they have heard enough. I would even say we have not even started. Amen. You know, we need to hear the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord says, those who hear it will be raised up from the grave. Amen. There is something like that is known as the resurrection of the soul. Amen. The soul must resurrect. Amen. And, you know, there is so much speaking and saying you must not resurrect. Amen. I hear such a noise in my soul saying you must not resurrect. You must continue to remain in the prison condition. You know, the body is a prison to the soul. I don't know if you understand. The body is a prison for the soul. And for 6,000 years, man has been in prison, you know, in the prison of the soul. There are different levels, different ways in which you can take, you know, what you may be hearing this morning. And that's part of what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about the hallowed soul, the business. That if you come from the point of view that, you know, if I come from the point of view that I am man and I insist I must remain in humanity, you know, then it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, because in doing that you will not be true to who you are, really. The thing is, God has soul. That is a concept that, you know, it's not familiar to us. The scripture in Judges chapter 10, 16 says, God poured out his soul. Amen. You know, God poured out his soul. You know, and the other scripture in Hebrews 10 says that if any man draw back, my soul will not have pleasure in him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so there is something that God is speaking. You know, the real issue is that God, the scriptures in Romans put it clearly, said that, you know, for someone did put someone in subjection. God allowed the situation in which the soul of man, or what is called soul, could be defiled by darkness, can be imprisoned by darkness. I don't know if you understand. You know, so even if you are looking at the first Adam, he says God, what really happened? God poured his soul into a human vessel, a human clay. Amen. You know what? He brought all that, you know, all that is God. Where you say he created man in his image, in his likeness. It was really a suggestion. God poured himself out into a human vessel. Amen. And in so doing, he knew what was going to happen, that darkness was going to take hold of that creation of God. Amen. So darkness took hold of that creation, that, as it were, God like limited himself. He brought himself within a certain situation.
Yes.
And it was a bait for the devil. It was a bait for the darkness. And the darkness, you know, jumped onto it. Yes, I've got the opportunity to be God. I don't understand. So that's what you see in Ezekiel, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. I always get mixed up. You know, but there it says, I will rise over the sons of God, and I will be like God. You know, so the whole thing is all about a walking and a staring to rule, to possess Zion, to define it, and to use it to propagate darkness, so that darkness will cover the world. But the Bible says that the Almighty will laugh in derision. In other words, I want you to understand that that God is the one that has allowed this situation that is called man. And all that is happening in that dimension of man, God has allowed it. So when we're talking about soul, we're speaking of a reality. You know, the man is soul because God poured out his soul into a human vessel. Amen. And quickened that creation so that it can be in a place where it can have fellowship with God. There was a purpose in God's heart when he poured out himself into the human vessel. And when we're looking at the second Adam, it's the same thing. Only that he used a different terminology. He said, you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God in a human vessel, or God in us. Amen. So whether you're looking at the first Adam or you're looking at the second Adam, we are still looking at the same principle of God in humanity. Amen. And this morning, I just want us to look a little bit and some of the processes, some of the things, the milestones, some of the things that the Lord is teaching and doing. Revelation 12 speaks of a setting of heaven. You know, it gives different pictures of heaven. See, there was a wonder a woman in heaven. A woman in heaven, well, you can look at it in different ways. You can begin from the natural. You look at a natural woman, and you look at the church, and then you should end up with the soul, because the soul is also feminine. But I would rather start from the dimension of the soul, and because we are too used to the dimension of the natural woman, and all that is going on. I'm looking at the dimension of the soul, because the whole business of God has to do with the soul, you know. And you know, in looking at that, in looking at Revelation 12, there's a phrase that's been ringing in my heart. Verse 9, Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon cast out of." Oh no, that's not. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause the soul to be carried away on the flood. Again, like I said, you I don't know where you well, you should, you probably come to it from your own experience, but I would encourage us to come to it from God's own perspective. And God's perspective is the perspective of the soul. The perspective of man is to look at the all that they say the woman is. You look at the natural woman with the way man has defined the natural woman. So when God speaks, he speaks from his own perspective. And when God is speaking of woman, he's speaking about the soul. You know, so he's saying there's a flood, you know, directed at the soul. You know, so I would prefer for us to come up with this and address it at that level. There's a flood at the soul, directed at the soul. And it says, look, but it says, and the act helped the woman, you know, and the act opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood with the dragon cast out of his mouth. You know, so the soul has God speaks. In other words, there is a dimension through which God speaks. An opening is through which God speaks. God speaks. God hears. God, you know, feels. You know, God you know, sees. Amen. So because it's so natural for us, and that is why it's good to come into this kind of environment when we can become spiritual and we can be who we are supposed to be, you know. And to consider for a moment that God speaks. Does he speak with the natural physical mouth? You know, God hears. Does he hear with the natural physical ears? You know, God descends. You know, does it descend with natural physical, you know, and nose and all that? And the Bible says that he created Adam in his own image and his likeness. Amen. The word perception. What perception? I'm sure we are all familiar with it. It means to be aware. It also means to see. It means to recognize. But this one, all these things, means to do these things with your mind. Perception does not in any way speak of a physical thing. You know what? It's not dealing with the physical eye. Amen. And you know, in the way in the way you function, in the way I function every day, you know, there is a sin that is at the dimension of the soul. You know, you see something. You know, when you say you perceive something, what it means is that the mind is able to grasp something, that is to receive an information and lay hold on it. That is, you know, in fact, if you use the word, English word, to comprehend, or use the word apprehend, means to, for the mind to lay hold on something and to identify that this is a reality that is that it is dealing with. So the devil for a long time has functioned with such an authority because he has presumed that the flood that he is releasing it's so intense, it's so overwhelming that we will not have the opportunity, you and I will not have the opportunity to raise our heads, to be able to understand the nature of the warfare that is being released against us. And let's look at something, another scripture. Daniel was saying that at the end of time, knowledge will increase, and men shall run to and fro. You know, so when the Bible talks about knowledge increasing, what really are you looking at? You know, if you look at the scripture in Genesis chapter 1, that it says on the fifth day that there were so many fishes. You know, there was a multiplication of fishes in the sea. So many fishes in the sea. So what? Well, yes, we can look at, you know, people have interpreted it, a lot of evangelism and so on. That's good. That's in a certain. But I'm looking at something that for me that's more practical for me for my situation. You know, at this time, I have iPad. I have a smartphone. I have a laptop. And you know, from where you are, the whole garbage in the world is available to you. And you see, when the Bible talks about fish, the fishes, you see, he's speaking of a realm of operation. You find when you talk about fish, and the example is the fish of Jonah. You know, that you see Jonah in the belly of the fish. You know, that is a controlled system that has swallowed Jonah, that has overwhelmed him. That he is a captivity of the fish. He is imprisoned in the fish. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. So you are talking about the fifth day. You are talking about which scripture did I just use? Yeah, I'm talking about the flood. So the flood is talking about the realm of the earth. Sorry, the realm of the sea. And so in other words, you are looking at Revelation 13. It says there was a beast that came out of the earth, out of the sea. In that place where you talk about the fish, the sea, you are looking at the various situations of operation. You know, the Bible talks about the ship master. You know, there are people who control, who supervise my captivity. You know, in the fish, in the various circumstances that have overwhelmed me. I don't know if you understand. There are ship masters. Amen. And so if you're talking about the fish, and then you're talking about the sheep, so you're looking at various captivities of the soul. You know, that the soul is in prison. It's very nice. You know, theology is very nice when you define a lot of things, and most of the time, what it does is to, it's like, that was just about the whitest sepulcher. You have a sepulcher, a prison, a tomb. You paint it and make it look nice, and we are just trying to reduce the shock effect, like, I'm in a prison. But the thing is that it's still, it's a book, it's still in a tomb. It's a tomb and it's in prison. So there are certain things that God is looking at and expecting of us. My faith in God is that He's going to speak. You know, there's a scripture that says that He cast out the spirit by His word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, so I overlook settings where someone says, well, it's not just ministry of the word. Ministry of the word is if it's the word of the Lord. Because that word of the Lord is going to cast out the spirit. Amen. So even now, like your sister said, as we're here, spirits are fleeing out of me, and I hope out of you. Okay, well, yeah, not like, just pray for me that I get the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So He cast out the spirit by His word. Hallelujah. And of course, He healed them also by His word. Here He also says that He cast out the spirit by His spirit. Amen. So there are different ministries that are bringing light. So the entrance of the word brings light. You know, I ask myself sometimes, why do I have to come all the way from Port Harcourt to do things? Why make all the sacrifices? I mean, we all have a certain, the things you have to do to be here. And you see that God can speak to you in Port Harcourt. Amen. I don't know if you're like me. I think sometimes, you know, I look at all those things and God say yes. You know, I bring you. He took Moses to the mountain. Look what I'm doing in Egypt. Why is he still doing in Egypt? And he took him from, look at all the things he went through, and he brought him to that mountain. And in that place, he began to speak to
him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and God also taught me another lesson. I think God, you know, what is this thing I'm doing? It's so little. There's so much problem in the world. God says, because the principle is me that takes all. That's the principle. Amen. That's the principle. So if in this room we overcome, it's over. Amen. Amen. Don't you understand? If one man overcomes, everyone else has overcome.
Yeah.
You know, so don't count what we are doing lightly. Amen. It says, by one man's offense, every man got into trouble. And by one man's obedience, we all will also be delivered. So if by my obedience in this meeting, it's going to be delivered, not just to me, but to a whole chain of people. Amen. So I know little is much. Give God this. I like that lesson very well. Because I always like little. I've got to tell you, little is much. Hallelujah. You know, so we're looking at the soul, and my concern is the flood that has been released. And it says the earth opened its mouth to swallow the flood, to help the woman. In other words, we say this, what is the earth then? Amen. What is the earth? You know, and God began to speak to me about the different types of soul. Well, I come from an academic environment, so I work very hard to try to take away academic, you know, what I'm saying. It's difficult, you have to pardon me. But the truth is that there are different types of experiences in which I find myself walking through. You know, so I told you there are different types of souls. Well, you may think I'm just trying to give you a lecture. It's not that. It's just that there are three realms, I don't know which better word to use, three different types of experience that I see myself going through. It's like, you know, you go from this to this, you know, so those three different types of situations. And I remember someone giving the parable of the soul. You know, the seed fell by the highway, and the other one fell among the rocks, the other one fell among the thorns, and then the other one fell, you know, and the sister said, it's speaking of the same heart, you know, it's because in my heart, you can have those different types of settings. Amen. So depending on, you know, at which particular, you know, I can be going through all of them at the same time, you know, that there are certain aspects in which my heart is very good, and the others which is just a highway. Mm-hmm. Amen. Other ones is just rocky, no death. And other times there are so many tears and chokes. You know, people like us, we have a to, you know, I always write a to do list, the things I'm supposed to do in the day. And sometimes I'll have 30 things I have to do. So you have so many cares. And at the end of the day, you see that you don't even get near 10. You still have 20. So the next day, I carry over 20. You know, and then the only work of the man, I'll update them because nothing gets added. I don't know if you're like me. Particularly when I travel and I come back, the table is all filled up. It takes you 2 weeks to maybe to do all the things that you have done. So when I don't talk to Brad Boss, he knows what is going on. My head is buried. I'm trying to walk out of peace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is that there is a setting in which I have found myself. And I see that for me are the things I'm most against. And and for me it's like a civil war, and I say God, I must walk in it. I must bring myself to this level. You know, it's such a hard time, but I'm seeing a silver lining down the line because I begin to see some things begin to change. Amen. So let's look at Revelation 14. Just go down the line a bit. Sorry, 15. 15, yeah. Let's go down the line. This was a scripture I read this morning, and I began to see God speaking. So it gave me a confidence that there's a word that the Lord was bringing to us. Says that I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Amen. And I saw, as it were, a sea of blood. You know, I always had an issue with this sea of blood until eventually God said to me, this is the brazen laver. You were this the laver. Amen. There was a man called Solomon. He was one that created what he called it the molten sea.
Yeah.
Amen. He took a little basin and he made it into an ocean. You know, but it's so wide. You know, and he put 12 oxen, you know, three on each side. And the interesting thing was that, you see, that their hinder part, you know, the unclean part of their body was inward. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
So for me, that is a very good story because he said to me, I'm going to clean your loins.
Amen.
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 So I don't know if people have a problem with their loins. I have a problem with my mind.
Yes.
God says, I'm going to clean it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the story. It says, it was a sea of glass, you know, transparent. You know, it's a mingled with fire. Hallelujah. So it was a place of cleansing. It was a place of purification. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of God, having the house of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgment are made manifest. Hallelujah. Is that sweet? You can read it down, but it's speaking of the qualification. You know, it's speaking of something that I must walk in. Amen. And the way I look at it, it's the flood is to bring a distraction to me, so that I am not walking, you know, at the things I should be walking at.
Yeah.
Amen. So there is a flood directed at the soul, and the mouth of the soul, the entrance into the soul is the mind. Amen. That is the doorway into the soul, is the mind. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the soul is very much like your face. Amen. It's just to help you. That's why God just put it there. Amen. You know, so the Bible talks about uncleanness. You find that in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is speaking of the sanctification and the purging of the soul. You know, someone says, I'm a man of unclean lips. It's speaking of the mind, the doorway of the mind. You say, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And the man says, you know, someone came, he said, one of the cherubim came, you know, and he brought tongues of fire. Yeah, coals of fire. He touched it. He said, thy lips are poison. Don't you like that? Yeah. Amen. I say every morning, I say, God, clean my lips.
Amen.
He said, just clean my mind. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. I don't know if you know about the mind. I don't know if you know. There's this word. There's this word, idolatry. Amen. It's a very interesting word. You know, you know, English is a grandchild of Latin, is it not?
Yes.
The same thing as German, and the same thing as your French, and so those principles, those three children, have a mother in Latin. Yeah, so this word is actually broken into two. The first one is from this word, eido. And then this one is another word, latri. This one means to see, or image. This one means service, or minister. It's actually service and ministry, or to do something. So when you add it together, you get the word idolatry, and this has to do with the mind. So when you speak of idolatry, it's talking about images.
Yes.
In the mind.
Yes.
Images that the mind serves. That is the true meaning of idolatry. That means there are images that the mind doesn't have a choice, but it must act. It must minister to. Amen. So the mind is. Okay, let me not say the mind. My mind is that place in which there are many images. I to me, when I'm speaking about images, I'm talking about plans, ideas, thoughts. What else again? Purposes. And that is the whole life, you know. So I have a cause that I believe in. It's an image, and that image is in the realm of my mind, and I serve it. You know, so you know what? I do service to it. You know, I wake up in the morning, I go and I do something to give it life. So in actual fact, this word is actually thing of worship.
Mm.
You know, so when you speak of an idol, you're actually speaking about the worship of the mind. In other words, the mind is being itself. My mind is being itself. The only thing that my mind can do is to bring worship, is to bring service. Say amen. Hallelujah. For me, it's a sobering time, you know, when I eventually get through my list, I put aside the list. I said, I need to minister to the Lord. Then I have a sober moment because I now come to realize who I am. That I'm someone who serves ideas, who serves images. So what the devil needs to do is to plant an image. And because he's sure that image will be given life. You understand? You know? The image is going to receive life. Because the mind must always give life. You know, so the mind does not have any other it doesn't have a choice, doesn't have any ability not to give life to the image that is within this world. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm still trying to start. So let's go back to that verse 2. Because that is the qualification. That is the qualification. It says, and he saw those who were at this laver, at this brazen, at the sea. It's a sea of glass. You know, it was no longer muddy, it was no longer, you know, dark. It was all clean. There's a place where it was dark. You know, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, you see the same thing. All dark, all black. It says in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. He said, and at the earth, he was void. Okay. And was dark. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Amen. But that's not always the story.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you stop there, then it's all dark and gloomy. But you need to travel down the road to Revelation.
Amen.
And you see a place where dancing Jesus belly has become
the
sea of glass.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And the instrument of that is the fire. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
The instrument of that is the fire. So fire is coming upon the earth. You know, those of us in Nigeria will see the fire. You know. It's good to think the fire won't come very close to you. But the fire is everywhere. You know. The other day, I was asking how is it that a young boy could run in the school. I was stabbing everybody, left, right, and I'm still wondering how he was able to stab as many people as he could. Amen. You know. And so you don't know the next school that they're going to shoot. Before you used to be shooting, now they're stabbing. They don't know what else they're going to do. Amen. And you know, so in Nigeria, they're kidnapping, they're doing all kinds of things. Ukraine is, someone says that it's going to be a civil war. So that means the actual plan is going to come. So civil war is burning in Ukraine. Syria hasn't stopped. It's still, they're not even still using chemical weapons. After they have seized all the ones they had, I don't know where they got these new ones that are using. the whole thing is boiling. The whole thing is boiling. And the situation is becoming, even physically, it's becoming, so stressful, and so physically stressful, spiritually stressful, emotionally stressful. The temperature is going up and up, and then I was going to use a word that I won't use it, but someone says we are so happy that we are not exporting lesbian, gay, marriage, transgender, the whole world. So we're very proud. That's our achievement. We're exporting lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual all over the world. We are not the minister of it. Rajiv says, someone who used to transport and export righteousness is now exporting this. And someone said there's a homosexual revolution. Well, what I know is that the flood is becoming stronger. Don't you understand? And that flood is directed at the soul, at the mind.
That's right.
You understand? And because the mind has to be sealed. If you look at Numbers 33, it says, when you come into the land, you must destroy the image.
Yes.
You must break down the altar. You must remove, must clean the pictures. You see, it's addressing the different stages of what has been imprinted on the mind. And the thing is, why is it on the mind? Why is the mind so important? Remember, because the mind is the minister. The mind is the altar. The mind is the place of offering. Amen. It's the beginning and the all. And the devil is warring upon the mind. Because he knows that when you win the battle in the mind, the whole battle is over. And we as a people, we must arise in our mind.
Yes. Amen.
And the Bible uses the word a gyro. That's another, it's like we are looking at different words. That's another Greek word. It means to arouse, to awaken. Quicken. The faculty. So it's speaking of the mind, speaking of the emotion, the desire, and then the will. So you are looking at the soul. The soul has to rise. It has to awaken. Hallelujah. Okay, now, so let's go a little bit in. So he says, he was looking at them that had gotten the victory over the beast. That's number one. Over his image. That's another level. Over the mark of the beast. That's another level. And over the number of the beast. So there are four levels that he's talking about. So I just want to go a little bit into those different aspects, because this is just foundational, because you can't build anything else until you define that. So the question is, what is the beast? What does the Bible refer to as the beast? What is that beast? I know there are different speakings and interpretations and applications given, and all of those ones are true. But I'm just looking at the one that is speaking to me, the one that for me, is what I have to work with every day. If you look at the Revelation 13, it describes two types of beasts. It says the first one came from the sea, and then the second one came from the earth. And if you go just next door to Revelation 14, it describes people, he says, who are inhabitants of heaven. In other words, it gives you three different realms. One, what he calls the sea. The second one, he calls the earth. Mm-hmm. And then third one, he calls heaven. He says they are inhabitants of heaven. Mm-hmm. You know? So these are three experiences in which my soul can walk and, you know, walk it. And remember, these experiences are defined as the liver. You know, they are defined as the liver. So they are the entry point into the holy place experience. Amen. Now, in the liver is the place of baptism. The liver is the, you know, in the tabernacle you have the altar, and then you have the liver experience, you know, the place of baptism, the place of consecration, and then you move on to the holy place where you have the spirit, the lampstand on the left, and then the sheephead on the right, and then right in front of you you have the another altar, that, you know, the altar of gold, made of gold. There's another way of looking at it. I need to look at it from the point of view of Genesis chapter 1. You know, Genesis chapter 1, the first day, there is a seed planted. The first day, it says, let there be light. It's a seed. And there has to be light because there's another light, another seed that has been planted, and that is the seed of darkness. So darkness is already there. The seed of darkness is already planted in the realm of the earth, in the realm of the soul. So God begins a work of creation, you know, and he says, lay there the light. In other words, he brings a seed, and he brings it into the soul. So there are two of them are working. You have a seed of darkness and a seed of light. And they run together. And eventually we see at the seventh day, we see that seed of light has completely overcome that of darkness and established itself. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're looking at what is this beast? What is this speaking of? You know, and I'm addressing it from the point of view of the liver, baptism. What is baptism? Baptism in water, and the baptism in the spirit. You receive the Holy Ghost, and then baptism into a realm, into Christ, into an ancient spirit, into a spirit that is timeless. It was before time, it is in time, and shall be after time. So it is the God who is and was and needs to come. You know, so that is the spirit that has come into us, the spirit of Christ. And it is the spirit of Emmanuel. You know, say God in man.
Amen.
God in the first Adam, in the second Adam. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, to whichever vessel Christ comes in, it must possess.
Amen.
He must dominate.
Amen.
He must rule until all his enemies
Amen.
Will be made his footstool.
Amen.
You know, and so the Bible says that the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, if that same spirit is in us, then that same spirit is going to quicken our mortality.
Amen.
Amen. So I am on the way to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Okay, so it's not because I'm wishing it, but because I can see the dynamic.
Amen.
That the same spirit that was in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, that same spirit is in me. And you know, so baptism is a declaration of an intention for the soul of man to return back to his rightful place in the heavens of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's the whole baptism. It is to say to God, my soul is on its way back to the garden. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we're speaking of the soul, we must speak of everything about the soul. Amen. So the devil is caught, and you know, he's in the business of cut and loose. That is, he cuts this one, says, no, this is not it. This is not it. Well, it's always that we are not of those who draw back.
Amen.
We are those who press on to the saving. Everything about the soul must be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so the soul has seven heads. There are seven realms of operation of the soul. And he goes on to say that there are 10 crowns. Eh? There are 10 horns, and then 10 crowns. The horns must be crowns. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's take it again. The soul has seven dimensions, or seven mountains. Amen. And upon these mountains are 10 horns. And then upon those 10 horns are designed and appointed to be 10 crowns put upon them. Amen. You know, if you look at it, they say that there are 10 kings. Seven have been established, and then the other ones are yet to come. I was listening to a tape, and someone was saying that the devil is still studying human nature. The devil is in a, the devil doesn't know all about man, doesn't know all about you. He wants us to think that he knows all about us. But I'm telling you, he's still studying man. You know, he's working things out, trying to see what is it that will work. And one of the things that he has hit upon that will work is sexuality.
Yes.
You know, it's something that will work. Amen. And that brings us to the dominion and the definition of this. You know, the soul of man has fallen. There is a falling dimension and nature of the soul, and that is what the Bible calls as this. The falling nature of the soul is what is in this. And God in his economy has allowed the beast to live around us. So you don't really need to go very far to understand what is beast. You know, you have a dog. Some people have dog as pet. I even hear some people have snake as pet. You know, python as pet.
Yes.
And so on. The Bible never said that the dog is going to give account of his sins.
You can get the dog, and the dog has to give account of the sins.
The dog has to do such intention. It does not his sins. I do my thing.
Have you heard something before?
Yeah.
I do my thing.
Just do it. That's it. Nike.
Just do it. Anything you like, do. And that is what is on the ascendancy now. That is the ruling spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So everybody is fighting. I want to do my thing. You know what? The beast is coming alive. Amen. Don't you understand? The beast is coming alive. You know?
Amen.
I want to be free. I want to do my thing. Well, the Bible says the soul that sins,
he
shall die.
Amen.
I wish we had time. Maybe we might still do that in the life. So we'll do a study on the soul. We'll study this. And it's shocking, it's striking. In fact, we have not been able to go beyond Deuteronomy. Just looking at all the scriptures about the soul, you'll be shocked what it's like. Amen. You know, so the soul that sinneth.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say the leg that sinneth.
Mm-hmm.
or the spirit that in it. It is specific. The responsibility before God is upon the mind, is upon the emotion, is upon the desire, and upon the will. And those four must give an account before God. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
But you see, the devil will be working and doing anything to prove to me that I don't have any account before God. And in other words, that is to bring the soul to the nature of the beast. You know, falling. You see, the beastly nature, the other dimension, the other thing about this beast is that it is ruled by passion.
Yes.
See, a soul that is ruled by the passion is falling, is beastly. You know, it only leads to satisfying the appetite. You know, the belly. And then we're looking at Revelation chapter 9. You know, it says there was the bottomless pit. You know, and guess what was coming out of those bottomless pit? It said there were locusts. They were coming out of it. And you know what it did? They darkened the sun. They darkened the whole atmosphere. Everything became dark. You know, so in other words, it precipitated darkness upon the earth. And so when you talk about the bottomless pit, of course you imagine, it will be in the lowest part of the earth. Okay, so maybe geography has even shown that they have done something and saw that in the lower part of the earth that there is a place they call bottomless pit. Well, that doesn't help me. What helped me is to understand that the bottomless pit is in me. That ministers to me. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
That the bottomless pit is right here.
Yeah.
You know? And it's called the belly. Do you know the belly?
Yes.
Do you have belly?
Yes.
Oh yes, I have one. And you know, the belly, for those of us who are, you know, those who work with the human body, you know, when you open it up, it's not very, very pleasant to stay around the belly. You know, all kinds of junk are in the belly. But see, you wear a nice dress, you're looking very nice. And you speak English, the thing is that if you go to put that there, you're going to find the belly. All kinds of junk. You don't even want to open it up. Everybody, this room will be empty. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. So say, when you open it up, there are locusts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there is something about the locusts. It eats the green. You know, the green speaks of the life of God. You know, it speaks of that thing about the garden of God. It speaks about tenderness, it speaks of sensitivity, it speaks of, you know, intimacy with God, it speaks of fellowship, it speaks of life. Amen. The locust speaks to me. You know what? You look at human society, well, maybe those of us in Africa, we don't know much about it. But you come to a city like London, it's the belly. You know what I mean? It's lifeless, emotionless. You meet iron and grit. You call the phone, it says, if you want to renew, press 1. If you want to buy, if you want to do this, please. If you want to do this, if you can't do, hang up. Lifeless, emotionless, mechanized, cold. That is what you get. And you choose any of those, and so it's only for you. Make a choice. So you are in the city and you're alone.
Yes,
you are dying and grinding, and you know that is. And that is the kind of thing the devil has done. That is what the locust produces. It takes away green, tender. No, you don't. You know, and I was just telling someone that what I don't want to do is to be reactive. You know what I mean? I don't want to react.
Yes.
Because that was the devil, that's exactly what he wants to do.
That's right.
You know, our brother will talk about the revised psychology. All right? Okay. The devil wants you through this door, so you first of all push you this way. So say, if I don't want that, then you will not go this way. You know. So the devil is working to us to go in a particular way, and you see the whole thing all the time. I'm reacting to this, reacting to this. You know, and then most of it is I'm reacting to things I don't like. So you know, before I know it, I become also hard.
Yes.
You know, emotions become deadened, you know, and all that. So, so the Bible speaks about the beast, that there must be a people that have victory over the fallen nature.
Yes, amen.
You know, so in other words, God is saying to me that my soul can rise.
Amen.
Now, so how is my soul going to rise? How does the soul rise? You know, if you look at that Revelation 12, it says that to the woman, to the soul was given two wings of an eagle. Okay? So that with it might go to a place prepared. Well, using the word wilderness, I investigated this. It's not quite wilderness. It says to a place prepared.
Yeah.
That is the right translation. It is to a place prepared. And that place prepared is in the holy place. That is the place prepared for the soul, that you might be fed and nurtured for a time and half a time before you can enter into the holiest of all.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you are with me. There is a place prepared of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that place prepared of God is the lampstand and the table of shewbread. That is the place prepared for us. You know, so if you are at the laver, and that's where we have been, you know, hovering around. You know, in the knowledge of the world. But I'm talking about in lifestyle. Okay, that is in the application of my mind. You know, that my mind, you know, and the things I'm doing on a daily basis, is at what level is this? Am I just at a level, you know, of the moon? The moon doesn't have any life of its own. Okay. The moon, it doesn't have any energy of itself. It's dependent upon another to receive life. There's nothing of it, there's no energy in it. And so it's much like the outer court. The outer court, no matter what good intention I have, darkness is determined to come upon me.
That's right.
At a certain time.
That's right.
You know, so whatever good, however good my intentions are, and the plan of the devil is to keep me in the outer court. That's to keep my soul in that place, you know, because right. It says the earth is going to help, it is going to swallow the flood. So if my soul is at the realm of the outer court, it's in the, well, if you use the word outer court, it looks very, but if it's in the lower end, that is earthly, earthbound. You know, the mind can be earthbound. You know, the mind can be fallen. Because it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so high are my ways and my thoughts,
yes,
higher than your own thoughts. Okay? So, the thing is, am I functioning at the level of God's thoughts? Is my mind functioning at the level of God's thoughts? You know, and I was looking at it. I was asking God, how do I set my mind? And he says, God said to me, open your mind. He says, so I was asking, how do I open my mind? You know, and the question is, how do you open your mind to the kind of thing? You think about it all the time. You know, you are cooking, you are thinking about, you know. So the things that you like, you meditate on them. You think about it. You are all the time. And God gave me some practical tips. There are certain spirits that feed the mind. So you have to please forgive me if I'm using too much spirit words. But there are certain spirits that feed me. I'm talking, let me tell you about myself. And one of those spirits is the national spirit. Yes. The other one is the tribal spirit. And then the other one is the familiar spirit. That was how God explained it to me. These are the spirits that feed my soul. And I said, I can relate with Abraham. God said to him, you must come out from your country, from your nation, or from your tribe. You know, I found out that I did certain things because of the national spirit, because I had something in me that was desiring to see my nation prosper. I wanted the development to come to my nation. Alright. The reason why I listening to the, we have this news hour here in the moon. Wherever I am, by 9 o'clock I must go and sit down. And the reason why I sit down is that there is something in me that is desiring that there will be something good to come out. That they will say something good. Oh yes, that we are progressing as a nation. So I found out that that was one of the spirits that was driving me. So if you are playing football and Nigeria was not playing the football, it didn't really bother me. But if Nigeria was going to play the football, the reason why I actually go is because of that national thing in me that has to defend. Okay? And if Nigeria was doing very well, then I feel happy. So that spirit was feeding me. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear any amen. I found out that if somebody was doing something and he was related to me, then it makes sense. You know, so I could see when God says, come out of
yeah.
So he's addressing spirit.
That's right.
You know, and that this spirit gives life. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
But you see, that's not the way God created the soul. God created the soul to feed from the garden of God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. And the scripture he gave me was Isaiah 11. It says that the lion will eat grass as the ox. Do you know that scripture?
Yes.
Says that the lion we eat grass as the ox.
Yes.
Now, what does a lion normally eat? He feeds on flesh, carnality. Okay, he feeds on carnality. He feeds on the weakness of others. He preys upon his victim. He's looking for his weakness. And he becomes, he's intimidated, bites, and, So I understood what God was saying to me. God was speaking about my appetite. About my appetite. You know, the appetite that are carnal, earthbound. I'm looking at it and it's like, God, these appetites are so strong. Can I change? And God says, even the captive.
Amen.
Mighty.
Hallelujah.
If God can change the appetite of the lion, He can change my appetite.
Yeah.
And I want you to believe that God can change your appetite.
Yeah.
You know, you see, it's all this with this locust thing. God can clean out the belly. You know, I can heal, because it says that we restore the years of the locust.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the locust. When you look at Revelation 9, there's something it said that the locust is actually like they said the bite of the locust is like it says when you bite it's like when the scorpion bites a man.
Yeah.
And the thing about the scorpion bite is that it has a sting. You know, it stings you and it drives you. The power of the sting is like it just makes you so uncomfortable. Yeah. It's like a poison. And so I was looking at it, and look at the next verse. It says that when the scorpion, when they get the bite, that they desire death. And death, in fact, they are not even satisfied with death, so they desire more death. You understand? So they desire to die, yet death cannot come to them. That is the state of hell. You know, and I was listening to a tape and I got a phrase. You know, someone said, see, the soul needs a body to function on the earth. So, the spirit, every spirit needs a body to function on the earth. So the soul is a spirit that has a body through which it relates to the earth, and has a spirit through which it touches God and hears the voice of God and responds to God. So it's the soul is a spirit that stands between two crossroads. Amen. In fact, you can describe it like that scripture in Revelation 10. It says there was he saw an angel, one leg on the earth and the other leg on the sea.
Right.
And he was standing, and you know, in that setting. You know, so I'm looking at this fallen nature, and I can relate to it, you know, because he says he designs death, and he cannot be satisfied with death, you know. And the scripture the Lord showed me about the situation in Egypt, you know, I think it's Numbers 11. I think it's Numbers 11, where he said the children of Israel, they began to, that each one of them, they came by their family, they stood by the tent. You know what they were doing? They were wailing and they were crying, they were rolling on the floor. What were they? They were asking for the fish of Egypt. They were asking for the cucumber. So I can't pronounce it very well. Is it cucumber or what?
Cucumber.
Whatever you call it. And what's the other one? They are looking for the
onions.
They were looking for the garlic. And they were looking for the onions. You know, the Lord just began to open it up to me. Let me look at that one you like, the cucumber, what you like. So, now, I find out that it means something that is hard, that is difficult to digest, that it doesn't even have any nutrients in it. That's what the cucumber means. Something that is hard, difficult to digest, and doesn't have any nutrients. Do you know any such thing? Yeah, soap operas. Yes, soap operas. Movies. Those are the cooking bags. Has nothing to teach you. Yes, it's designed. Okay? So the circumstances and the things that our soul designs, there is no good in it. Yes, we wake up and we desire it again. Alright? So you look at the leek speaks of that which is green. You know, you look at the leek, it's very green. It's an illusion. Okay? It's an illusion. Yeah, you look at a man like a Lot, you saw the field all green. You know, it's like imagine about to say, well, you are planning on tomorrow. Then you don't have tomorrow. You know? Because by the time you get there, the thing has changed, the circumstances have changed. You cannot plan on things that you cannot control. Alright? You look at the garlic, it's all smelly. You know, it's all enticing. You know, so those things, the feeling of the different senses, you know, in the body. And you're looking at the fish, they designed the fishes of Egypt. I've talked about the fish and the sheep condition. You know, so the soul is encumbered and bothered about this setting and circumstance. I looked at another word about the Philistines. You know, the Philistines had five lords, and they represent the five different senses in the body. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. The first one is Gezer.
Yes.
Gezer means that will put you in a pleasing condition. It takes captive of the person. And then the second one, Ashdod, means to destroy. You know, it means to destroy whatever. In fact, it's more like the locust spirit. It destroys everything in this time. Then you look at the next one, Ashkelon. Someone says it's taken from the word Shekel, means merchant. It's a merchandising spirit. You know, so the soul, the fallen soul, doesn't have access to the life of God. So it's looking for peace, it's looking for life. It wants to buy life. for wherever you can find it. You know, so it's a merchant. So the Bible calls it the merchant of heaven. You know? And then you see Ekron. Ekron means pleasures. You know? So the song is buying pleasure. Wherever you can find pleasure, because he doesn't really have access to that life of God. And then finally you have God. God means to uproot that which has been planted. So the Philistine spirit is an earthly, earthbound spirit, you know, that puts my soul in a prison and is feeding it with pleasures. Okay? It's feeding your pleasures, and it doesn't allow any planting of God to come. There's nothing that can be planted of God in it, and that maintains and perpetuates the situation of dryness and the wilderness condition. You know, so brethren, we must have victory over the soul, over this soul. The beastly soul is a nation. When you talk about the nation, you use the word, that word nation, it's a Hebrew word that speaks of, you know, the different segregation, different types of soul. You know, that is the word, you know, that from where they translate the Gentiles. And God says we must overcome the beastly soul. Now, if I'm overcoming the beastly soul, what is the alternative for me? You know, what? Where should I be pressing? What kind of soul should I? What should I be doing? What can I? What should be my preoccupation? And I'm again looking at myself. I say, God, how will I able to spend all my time listening to messages? So which kind of lifestyle am I going to have? What really are you thinking? What are you demanding of me? And you know, so he began to show me something. The word is about those cherubims. Is it really possible for somebody to have a lifestyle? Well, what he said is a lifestyle of hordes. That was the word he used. You know, God said to me, you have a lifestyle of hordes. The lifestyle of hordes is a lifestyle of passion. Seeking passion, seeking joy, seeking fulfillment, seeking pleasure. Anything that will bring pleasure to my soul, then I'm going to give myself to it. As God says, it's a lifestyle of passion. And of course, the whole Western lifestyle, you know, is centered on passion. You know, I work to have a good life, and then I work to maintain that good life. And then when you are going to retire, when you plan for retirement, just to ensure that the good life continues, is secure. You know? And then God says it's a lifestyle of passion, of fulfilling the appetite, of giving life to the appetite. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I haven't finished. Amen.
Amen.
Just started.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. You know, I've stopped saying the amen. But I'm just starting. I'm trying to define this. We still have to talk about the image of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have to talk about the mark of this. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about the number of
this.
Yes. Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. So, it's still early in the day. It's just 11 o'clock. It's still early in the day. Amen.
Amen.
So there are three nations of soul. We're just looking at the basic common one, the sea. The sea, in Revelation 17, says that the sea weighs down some, our peoples and nations and kindred and tribes. You know, so in spiritual language, in the Bible, in the language of the Bible, the sea is used to represent the whole, the nations of the world, the common peoples of the world. And the common peoples of the world have a soul that is fallen.
Yes.
Like it was cast out of the garden of God. It doesn't have access to that milk and honey. It doesn't have access to the energy of God. So it depends on the reflected energy of the sun.
Amen.
So it is a dimension that is not under the overshadowing of God. Cannot be overshadowed by God. Remember, I didn't want to say reasonable, but remember, God is the one that poured his soul into the clay. Amen. In other words, there is an economy in God to sustain and satisfy the desire of the soul, the emotions in the soul, the mind in the soul, and the will. Those four realms, there is a provision in God to satisfy.
Amen.
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 And we can see that in Revelation 7. He said that, he asked them, said there were multitudes. If you look at the language uses, he says before the throne and round about the throne. If you look at the ones, he's saying in the midst of the throne. Okay, so he's speaking of the soul. There's no other soul, no other throne anywhere but the soul. Mm-hmm. Because there are only two beings that God created in the world. Angels and men. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
The only two beings that God created in the world, angels and men. No other. Every other thing you find are within those two classes. So when you speak about the throne of God is nowhere else but in man. Hallelujah. And it's within the realm of the soul. You know, and he said that this one shall be before God, that the Lamb is in the midst of them, and he shall feed them, he shall nourish them, he shall wipe away every tear from them. You understand? So this is the function of the Lamb to feed the soul. And the Bible talks about the Lamb upon the throne. So there is no desire in my soul, no faculty in my mind, you know, or nothing in me that cannot be met in God.
Yes.
But the devil, of course, tells me that anything regarding God is boring, you know. So the emotions, my emotions are not excited at God. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes praying is a drag, you know. So, do I have to pray again? You know, it's only telling me where I am. It's telling me that my soul is far, far, far low. You see, God is so high, and my soul is so low. So, and because my soul is so low, it's creeping. It's like a creeping animal. Don't you understand?
Yes.
It walks on its belly. It's a belly ruled, belly dominated, belly centered individual. Anyway, so it means that it's really down, 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 down. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But God wants my soul to be like that bird.
Yes.
That can fly.
Yes.
And you see, and that ability to rise is the ability of the lampstand. Mm-hmm. And is the ability of the table of shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And is the ability the devil wants to destroy. Amen.
Yes.
Because the only thing that can bring you into the is the ministries. Because you have to walk through the door. Don't you understand? To enter. And what the devil wants to do is to destroy your ministry.
Right.
Where there is no ministry, say that there will be a teaching priest that will teach the people to separate the pressure from the fire.
Amen.
Any ministry that does that. It's not saying the ministry is perfect. Ministry is not an individualized thing. It is a spirit of service that God gives in the body. And those who have it bring. And we all are the ministry. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, so it's not talking about a clear gene, anything. Okay, I'm the ministry, and yeah, you are the plumber. Amen. Hallelujah. So we all say every joint supplies. Hallelujah. So it's a spirit that is being released. And it's that ministry, that spirit that nourishes and quickens the body and You know, the body heals itself, ministers to itself. Amen. You understand? You know, if I have a pinch now, everything in my body is geared towards attending to that pinch, healing it and stopping it, you know, ministering to it. And within the body, God has poured out such a spirit to bring nourishment and to cause the body to be strong. And what I hear is God saying, move forward.
Amen.
Amen. You know, our soul needs to move forward.
Amen.
You see, the beastly soul is overwhelmed by the flood. And you know what the flood is? The flood is relationship. Trespass offering. You know? You see, when my whole life and ministry is based on attitude, that is, I am measuring the attitudes of different people. So that's the thing to give them. He didn't speak well. He didn't talk well. He didn't preach well. He didn't read me well. He didn't do this well. He didn't do this well. He didn't do this well. The whole thing is, he didn't do well. He didn't do well. He didn't do well. He didn't. So you spend your whole life explaining yourself and not explaining yourself. It is a distraction.
Yeah.
I thought you say amen.
Amen.
Say amen now. It is a distraction. He says move forward.
Yes, amen.
The soul needs to move forward.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we need to rise from the realms of the earth, the realms of relationships. Hallelujah. We need to come higher. I thought you say amen.
Amen.
That's the word I hear, rise higher.
Amen.
Amen. Rise higher. You know, when you climb higher, there's very little settling of water, because in the holy place, the population is very small.
That's right.
Don't you understand?
Yeah.
The holy place is a very small population place. Only priests are there.
Mm.
But the outer God, this is everything. It's a congregation. And because there are so many people, you keep stepping on toes.
Yeah.
And you have to explain why you are stepping on toes. Mm. You have to be saying sorry all the time. But when you climb up higher, it's quieter.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, when you come into the holy place, you are enthralled by the gold. Huh? This is the life. I mean, first of all, you will find a table of shoe bread. Filled with bread to eat. Amen. It's just to have. And there's wine to take. Amen. And then you have the enlightenment of the Spirit.
Amen.
Don't you understand? You know, when you see the purpose of the entrance of the Spirit into the soul is to enlighten the soul. And that is the whole business of the holy place. Is to enlighten the soul. Sorry, this is getting finished.
There's more.
Yeah. So this is the soul. You see, and the soul must be enlightened, must be, you know, the spirit must come into the soul. Okay. So this is the realm of the spirit. The spirit has received the baptism. Alright. Yes. Then the soul must be the recipient of the baptism. So the soul must receive of the spirit, of the unction of the spirit. Amen. And I feel in the spirit that the devil is working to stop it. You know, so yes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an outer court experience. We have received the baptism, you know, but the soul is not getting the benefit.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Mm. The soul is not getting the benefit. Mm. And remember, the seed of Christ has been inseminated, you know, into the soul.
Yeah.
Okay, that happens when we are born again. There is a life, there is a seed of Christ. Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you receive the blood, you receive a seed of Christ. But that seed must be watered.
Mm.
And that is what happens on the third day of creation. The third day of creation, all the seeds planted is watered. And every seed will bring forth. That is what happens on the third day. And that is what you find at the lampstand. You know, the the you have the lighting. So the Spirit of God must begin to water the seed of Christ within the soul. Amen. What you'll find is that the devil has worked actively, that we're not presenting the soul. The soul must be presented to God. If we do not present our soul to Christ, then he's not going to do anything. And the chief part of the soul is the mind. And the chief part of the mind is the conscience.
Yeah.
and the conscience has the, what they call, the loins of the mind. So there are depths and depths that have to be presented to God. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that in the midst of this thing, the Bible says that there is a conscience of sin. In other words, darkness is already at the depths of the mind. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So God says, so we must present ourselves. And that is the focus of the New Testament. He says, I will put my law.
Yeah.
I will put my nomos in the mind. The nomos speaks of the personality of God. You understand? The nature of God, the law of God must be put in the realms of the mind.
Amen.
That is the New Testament. But you see, God cannot walk on something that has not been presented to him. And that is why we must move from the altar court into the holy place. We must come to the place where God must begin to walk and to walk a walk of change. So I'm looking at Revelation 17. It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth. That is just speaking of, it's a terminology describing the functioning of the beastly soul, of the fallen nature of the soul. You call the king, because it's a spirit of rebellion. So God says the soul is a king, because he says you will be as God. And the soul says, yes, I'll be as God. And the devil gave him a seat and great authority. Don't you understand? So there's an authority that the soul has received, and is functioning as a king. So the spirit of independence you find in the world is referable to Genesis 3. Where it says you shall be as God.
Yes.
So there is an illusion in the soul of man. There is something in man that wants to play God. Alright? Mm-hmm. And God says that is the kings of the earth. He says, I have committed fornication with the inhabitants of the earth. I have made drunk with the wine of our fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a soul, or I saw a woman, sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, and full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head, upon her forehead, our mind was written, a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And the woman was drunken with what?
The blood of saints.
And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I hated her. I didn't like her. Amen. You see that when I saw her, what did I do? I wondered.
Great
admiration. Hallelujah. He said, and the angel said unto me, therefore, this is thy mother. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads. It is godly to know the mystery of God.
Yes.
Amen now.
Yes.
Don't you understand?
Yes.
It's godly. If it's not of God, then why is he going to tell him mysteries? He says, I will tell you the mysteries. I want to know the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say amen.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. So any ministry that is telling you you shouldn't know the mysteries of God is not God. He says that should not know the depth of Satan. That's what you shouldn't know.
Mm.
You understand? Yeah. But the mysteries of God are given to the children of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So it's godly to receive the mysteries of God.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. And so it is speaking of the relationship of the beast and the woman. Amen. There's a relationship with the beast. And remember, we said this beast, this morning God said to me, is the fallen nature of man. That's what I'm talking to you. This morning, I said, God said, the beast is the fallen nature of man. So I'm just trying to say the things I'm hearing. Amen. And I'm trying to walk in it. I hope you pray for me so I can walk in it. Amen. Please, don't forget. Always that brother said we should pray for him so that he can walk in the world. Amen. So the beast is doing something. The beast is carrying his spirit. Or either way, the beast is being ruled over by a spirit. And it has defined for us what this woman, that this woman is the spirit of Babylon. Is a whore. It's a pantheon of spirits. Amen. You know what a pantheon is? That is ministry in Rome. There was a pantheon of spirits.
Yeah.
In Egypt, they even had more pantheons of spirits. In Greece, they had, in fact, it was the mother of all the pantheons. Everything was in. They worshipped everything. God of dancing, God of fire, God of moon, God of wine, God of food, God of everything. Football, Manchester United, God of everything.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. To the unknown God.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, we are dealing with a carefully arranged order and worship of spirit. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And it calls it cosmos.
Yeah.
You know? It calls it you say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
yeah,
but against the principality, the power, and then the rulers of the darkness of this world. That is the veil. When the Bible talks about breaking through the veil, that is the veil the soul must break through. But the Bible says that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be broken. Can the veil be broken? Well, you know, if you have been beaten, you know, your soul is down, beaten by besetting sin, you know, beaten by ancestral nature and character. Sometimes, you know, the devil brings you to the point and says, well, I cannot overcome. So, and you find doctrines who have brought it, say that man cannot overcome in the flesh. But that's not true. The Bible says that when he shall turn to the Lord, that is there, shall be broken. Amen. And the Bible says the Lord is that spirit.
Amen.
And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Hallelujah. You know, so and the Bible says we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but those who press on. So the soul must be saved from this veil, this carefully arranged worship of devils. Hallelujah. Now, who is worshiping the devil? It's the soul. The soul is a priest. There are seven natures in the soul. The first one is that it is a priest. It is either a priest of God or a priest of this different spirit. Look at it, say it is carrying the beast is carrying the woman. And if you look at Revelation 7:14, it says that these are they that were not defiled by women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear that these are they that overcame the woman. They overcame this spirit that allowed them. Now let me say this quickly before I forget. So you have the beast, you have the worship of the beast. The what you call you have the what they call the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is the spirit that is worshipped becoming more entrenched. That is the mark of the beast. That is the spirit becomes more lodged into my nature. And as it is lodging into my nature, it is defining my nature with a character. So when you see me doing certain things or have certain attitudes, it is a spirit. Of course, we don't want to say it's a spirit. How can I have a wrong spirit? Peter, say, Peter, Get thee behind me, who?
Yeah.
How can Peter be Satan? You know who Peter is. You know, so there is a certain measure of submission to the word of God that we need.
Oh, yes.
You know, Bible says if we confess our sins, then we can receive forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
And he's faithful. You know, sometimes it's difficult to own up to the reality that I am worshiping a spirit. That is my, there's a nature in me that I'm giving life to. In fact, if you look at Revelation 13, it says that the beast from the earth caused all men to give life to the image of the beast. So the image of the beast is speaking of the service. Remember, the service that's been given. Idolatria. Latria means that the ministry, the worship. And the soul is a perfect worshiper. God made the soul to be the worshiping nature. Anything in the realms of the soul must be worshipped. And the soul worships this image. And that's why in Revelation 21 says there is no other temple there. Because the Lamb and the Lord God are the only temple there. So you know what? All the idols have been destroyed. So I have the understanding, and I hope you will have the understanding. So if we all have the understanding, then we'll be stronger. And the understanding is that within me are altars and platforms. Now these altars and platforms are actually lifestyle. You know what the Bible calls the image of the beast, piece of lifestyle that honor or strengthen the spirit. And when the spirit receives life, it gets stronger. So if you come into certain locality, you see a particular attitude that is dominant. It is because the spirit has been worshipped over a period of time.
Yes.
And it is now very strong.
That's right.
Alright? So because everybody in that community is worshipping and serving that particular spirit. And God will have, when God puts a church or puts you there, or you are born in that locality, my purpose in life, therefore, would be to overcome that spirit.
Amen.
And God, you see, when I say I overcome, means you must be referable to that particular spirit over that locality in which I am born. So he says you must be witnesses first in Jerusalem, in Judea. You know, and then down the line. So so if you look at their family settings, you will see certain particular spirits that are running. And that is their assignment. And that is my assignment, to break through that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see some examples. Look at a man called Jesus. You know, there's a man called Jesus.
Yes.
In his family line, there were certain spirits that were running. Amen. Hallelujah. So you look at Esau, and you look at Jacob, and you look at Isaac, and you look at David, and you look at Solomon. Hallelujah. And then it comes down to the man. Hallelujah. And then if you look at the man, David, even in within the space of his lifetime, there was an overcoming. Uh-huh. You know, when he was a young man, he couldn't overcome certain things. And then when he was old, God still gave him the opportunity.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And he overcame.
Yes.
Because they brought the Shulamite.
Oh, yeah.
The very best.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, no problem.
Oh, yeah, mama.
And there was a testimony that he overcame.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, and this morning someone had a dream about springtime. So I know what God is saying. God is giving me another opportunity.
Hallelujah.
So are you going to take the springtime?
Amen.
The winter is fast. And the springtime is coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is a strength in God to overcome.
Amen.
And the things that we couldn't overcome, the certain spirits that we see in our fathers, in our mothers, in our aunts, uncles, aunties, in people who live in the same locality, you know, that define our ancestry, you know, is there. And God says, you can overcome them. And we are called to overcome those spirits. And someone said, how do you overcome? He said, they overcame him by the blood.
Yes.
By the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives utterly. So that means, how do you overcome blood? You change the blood. Yeah. Blood is nature. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if you are going to overcome by blood, that means you must receive a new blood.
Amen.
And that blood is a covenant, another covenant relationship. And it is the covenant relationship of Jesus Christ. So when you are coming against a spirit, you cannot come against it with your natural setting and understanding. You must overcome it by Christ, by the force and authority of Christ. And practically, that means you have to ask yourself, what does the scripture say about it? It's not what does my people say, what does philosophy say, what is it that accepted in society, or like to be politically correct, no? What does the scripture say? That's how to overcome. And when you have defined what the scripture says, you know, I was talking with a brother yesterday, I said, the ingredient to overcome is the love of the truth.
Amen.
That is the ingredient to overcome.
Amen.
Now, if a man loves the truth, and if a man is committed to doing the will of God, he's an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
He may not know it, but the thing is, whenever the will of God is clear to him, it is God has it done. You know, so to Abraham, if God says it was counted, his obedience was counted for righteousness, because Abraham was determined to obey God. So the question is, is there a commitment in my heart to obey God? Is there a determination in my heart to seek the will of God? That is, if there is a matter, I'm able to know, no, this is my preference, this is my mind now. And then I know that this is the mind of the Lord. And if it is the mind of the Lord, it is God. You know, so those are practical ingredients to overcome it. That is, I'm not seeking my way. Because the will of God may be different, or in fact, they are cross purposes with the will of man. You know, that which I want may not be the same as what the Lord is speaking. And that can be a problem. So we're looking at this in Revelation 17. And he's speaking about the worship of the beast. The image of the beast are the spirits that the beast is submitting to. That this nature, this carnal nature, is submitting. That's what the Bible calls the image of the beast. What it worships. And if you go down to Revelation 13, it speaks about the beast that came from the earth. The beast that came from the earth is the same. Is a religious spirit. It is a renovated nature of the soul, mm-hmm. of the old man that is, you know, that is reformed and regenerated. It hasn't quite made the grade to a spiritual soul. A spiritual soul, or what the Bible calls a life-giving spirit, is where we should be going to. But I don't find the energy within us in pushing for that. And I put it to distractions. We are distracted.
Mm.
We are distracted by the flood. So the devil is doing many things. And someone gave a word. He said, I think it was Austin Sparks, we're explaining the situation of Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me,
yes,
then you have it. So if you see me being taken off, then you have the double portion.
Yes, amen.
You know, so it's all about focus.
Amen.
All about focus. What are you focusing on? What are you looking at?
Amen.
And you guess what was presented? A chariot of fire. That is what looking at. It was enough to take his focus off. To look at the chariot of fire, and if he looked at that, he would have missed the reality. But the Bible says that that did not face him. He was still looking. He says, "My God and my Lord." Amen. So in other words, he saw when he was taken. But he didn't quite know that he had gotten the anointing until he got to the river. In other words, when the same flood came, I said, "Where is the God of Elijah?"
Hallelujah.
And that was when he found out that his focus was real.
Uh-huh.
So brethren, our focus must be real.
Yeah.
And your focus and my focus will be tested. And I've been tested. What are you looking at? What are you aiming at? And if our focus is upon the heaven, and not on the floor, then we are going to be guaranteed overcoming. Going again back to 5:15, it says over his image. Okay, and over the mark of the beast. I talked a little bit about the mark of the beast. It has to do with spirits that are entrenched, strongholds. There are strongholds in the soul. There are strongholds in the promise in the promised land. When they came into the promised land, which is a type of the soul, they found certain spirits. And one of those spirits they had to deal with were the Amorite kings. The Amorites were mountain dwellers. In other words, they were spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They were high-minded spirits.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit that, and the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh as well, but against the spirit. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that does what that stands, sets itself against the knowledge of God. Those are very high spirits that we have to deal with. The spirits that rule the mind. There are also spirits that rule over the emotions. And other ones that rule over the desire, and other ones that rule over the will. So the one variance thing where you come to a point where you are giving up, say, I cannot overcome. And then the will has been weakened. There is no drive, to believe that I can overcome. The thing is, it is the head that feeds the soul. The head feeds the body. I don't know if you understand. In your body, it's your head that feeds the body. The body does not feed the head. So there must be an understanding of the workings of God that if I fellowship with the Lamb, if I walk in the light, as He is in the light, then I'm going to be nourished. So because the head will feed the body, because the head will take care of the body, the bridegroom will feed the bride.
Amen.
Amen. So when you find a bride feeding herself, then it must be a hallowed bride.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says that there are seven women that says we will eat our own food.
Mm-hmm.
We will have our own apparel. Only let us be called bride. So in other words, they are not quite collected. To the head, there is something that's wrong. So when I look at my condition, I see that I'm dry. I remember the scripture that said, "Who is this that is dry?" So who is it that is blind, that doesn't know God? The Bible says, "Let him stay upon his God." Let him not go around making sparks, trying to show that he has this or that. So I think we need to come to that place of focus, to know that the soul was represented to God. The soul must be, I must come to the place that there is a place of provision, where God is nourishing his people, and it is called the holy place. We need to come to the holy place. We can't quite get into that, but we need to come to the holy place. We need to come to the place where God is feeding his people. There is a promise that we can overcome over the mark of the beast. The number of the beast speaks of the number is in reference to the nature the number of the beast speaks of the nature of the beast that that we're all talking about, you know, as it multiplies and then goes to 166 towards the fullness. There is an order in which darkness has to come upon the earth. There is an order in which darkness has to come upon the earth. Well, you may think that it's just going to come. No, there are certain things that must be. There are certain experiences the soul must go through for the darkness to come. And right now we turn the bend, we cross a major hurdle, and with the lesbian gay thing, there is a major breakthrough of darkness into the soul.
Yes,
it's a major. It is fundamental. It is phenomenal. It is a major advancement.
Yes,
of darkness into the soul. It's major. Yes, it's a major. And what that also means that there is also a major opportunity for my soul to rise.
Amen.
So it goes both ways. Hallelujah. So it's major. We don't have time to get into it, but you know, when you look at the plagues in Egypt, we are given different dimensions. There are different dimensions in which darkness is coming upon the soul. It's going and progressing. The last plague before midnight was, you see, there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. It was darkness. And the thing that precipitated that is the locust. The locust is the 8th. The 9th is darkness. And the 10th is at midnight. You understand? And the 7th one is the hail. The 6th one is the horns, the animals. Alright? The 5th one. I missed a step. So there are different steps, and it's all dealing with the natures within the realms of the soul. There's a place where the devil wants my soul to be, and it is a place where it is being fed with dead, lifeless, nutrientless food, and that food is passion, Babylon. You know, so it's that the fly, dead fly. Where you have fly means the thing is dead. Okay, don't you understand? It's lifeless. I say wherever you see the carcass, there with the eagles. The vultures to gather. So, you know, why would I be desiring lifeless things? You know, I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking of entertainment. Entertainment is the substitute of Babylon for the life of God. And it is being fed to the soul. And I wake up in the morning, I'm looking for entertainment. And it is a worship in the mind. It's embedded in the mind. You understand? So there are altar and there are spirits that desire that worship.
Yeah.
They need my body so that they can have life. Okay, so we're looking at spirit activity, and there's a need for energy that we need to rise up as the people against this worship, this lifestyle. I don't know how to say it, but it's something that we need as a people. We need to rise up. To realize that there is a lifestyle of worship that is strengthening the rule of this spirit over our lives. You look at the frogs, they came from the Nile. You know, the Nile speaks of this flood. It's actually the flood. The Nile speaks, the Nile was what brought life to Egypt. And if you look at the world, there is a flood that comes from the world and produce your life. When you leave your office, till the time you come back, you don't need anybody to tell you that your life has been defined. Okay? And you put on the TV, you want to listen to news, you hear the news that at the end of it, you're going to get defined. You want to check your mail, By the time you finish, you are going to carry some things that you didn't plan. You get out driving out on the street. The things you are seeing with your eyes, the things you are hearing with your ears, the things you are smelling. So, in all the entrances, you have a warfare on the church. So the thing is, how is the church going to survive? And the Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Because our help cometh from the Lord.
Amen.
Now, there's a scripture that's in Revelation 13 that says, and the beast made war with the saints and overcame the saints. Is it? I asked God to say yes, because the saints are in the territory of the devil on the earth. If the church is on the territory of the devil, the church will be overcome. So in other words, when you look at the church today, you see signs and symptoms of a people that have been overcome. You know, you see carnality, you know, in the church. And so it shows that the church is in the wrong place. You and I should be in the realms of heaven. We should be in the among the inhabitants of heaven. Because in that place, the devil cannot rejoice. So, I believe God is calling us to come up higher.
Hallelujah.
You know, to come up higher is a lifestyle. It has to do with my presentation, you know, what am I giving to God? You know, those seven mountains in the soul must be crowned. They must be given to Christ so they can rule over each one of them. And the whole purpose of God from the beginning has been that the seed of God planted in the realm of the soul will rule, so that the kingdom will be established on every dominion, every mountain, over every nature. So I'll try to just share a little bit on the call to overcome and the realm of soul, because that is the church that's going to be the bride. The wise virgin is a virgin that is not married to a wrong spirit. That is a wise virgin. It is a soul that is married to Christ.
Hallelujah.
It is a soul that is cleaned out of every wrong spirit.
Amen.
That is a wise virgin. That is a soul that has the wisdom of God. That is, wisdom means skill, ability to discern evil and to overcome the evil. That is the wise soul. And that is the wise virgin. You understand? So, someone is probably saying, oh no, this brother is all becoming spirit. No. The thing is, the soul is being prepared for a husband.
Yes.
And that husband is a spirit. Amen. And that husband is coming for the soul that has not been defiled by harlot spirit. See that these ones are not defined with women.
Yeah.
They follow the Lamb.
We
don't say ever in the soul.
Amen.
See, because they are redeemed from the from amongst men.
Mm-hmm.
They have no guile.
Okay.
You know, so and he says unto him that is able to present us without blame, undefiled.
Yes.
You know, so he's the one, they say he will present unto himself.
Mm.
Okay, you know, so there is a spirit from the bride that has been released, that is walking amongst them, choosing a bride for the bridegroom, and in the spirit of Christ. You know, I don't subscribe to lowering standards. I'm not in the habit of trying to lower standards.
Yes.
You know, because if you lower the standards in this room, the standard is still not lower. Because the foundation of God standeth sure. Don't you understand? You know? So let's not try to get into that habit of trying to lower standards so that to feel well. Well, no, we have to come up. So there is a spirit that has been released.
Yes.
And it is choosing a bride.
Amen.
You know what? That bride is the soul. So it is coming to every sense. It says, I, wisdom, I stand at the gate.
Yes.
And I'm knocking.
Amen.
So, oh ye simple ones. A simple one is a soul that has the wisdom of man. There is a sensual wisdom. This is devilish, earthly. Cana. It's a wisdom of strife and confusion and bitterness. You see that the spirit, there's a wisdom that is heavenly.
Amen.
It's peaceable. It's easy to be entreated. It makes peace and it's pure and undefiled. That is the wisdom of God. And that wisdom must come into the soul and give me the ability to discern the evil. To discern means I'm able to see the activity of the devil and know when to resist it.
Amen.
And know when to submit to it. You know, I'm able to hear the voice of God. And he says, my son, give me your heart. My son, do this and that. That is the wise soul. You know, and he says, say the wisdom, that as my sister. And say the understanding, that as my kinswoman. You understand? So, there is a rising up. There's a rising up in the church. And I want to be in that company of rising up.
Amen.
Now, I understand that somebody may not understand what I'm doing. I'm a company. My prayer is the Lord, forgive them. For they know not what. It's not so, brother. Hallelujah. So, we see we must be tolerant. We must be accommodating. Because it's not everybody that will be able to understand what God is going to do. But see, if we stay in the place of prayer, even that who didn't see will get to see. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. And then there will be a moving forward. Hallelujah. You know, so you find that Joseph went ahead of his people. They even sold him into slavery, you know. So, that is still part of the dynamics of the church. And, among the 12 brothers, 11 did not. Only one knew what was happening. You know, and they even saw them say, here comes the dreamer. So if they call you dreamer, don't take it too badly. You are not that dreamer before you. Amen.
Amen.
Bro, God, you understand what I'm saying? There have been other dreamers before you. So if someone says you're a dreamer, it's okay, praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, so we have to be redemptive in our attitude, in the situation. And, you know, like someone would say, you know, Lord, only I, it can't be only I. Because there are 7,000. They have not bowed their knees to bow.
Amen.
And some of them are in this room today. You haven't seen them. If you look their eyes, you'll see some of them. Hallelujah. Because God is guarding Zion. Of the things in heaven and of the things on the earth. Because they gather together. Amen. And the church is rising up. So this is not the hour of defeat. But someone says, now it comes. Salvation.
Yeah.
And the power of his Christ. Amen. And the kingdom of his Christ. Amen. So, I think we should just thank God that there is a rising up in the church.
Amen.
You know, there is a betting, there is a spring coming.
Amen.
So the winter is past and the spring is coming. Don't you understand?
Yeah.
So, it's a time to rise up to build. It's a time to water the seeds that have been planted. That's what God is saying. You know, to water the seeds.
Hallelujah.
Because God is going to bring us to the fourth day where he says, see, he created the sun and to rule over there, to give light. And that is the light of the world. It's coming. And it is that strength that we can have to come out of the ships of the fifth day, the fishes of the fifth day, and to rule over the animals and the beasts of the fish, you know, and to overcome and to mature in the things of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just feel like praying. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you. We thank you for the cunning, this design you have. And these are not cunningly devised fables. But Lord, that there is a reality. That the true light is now shining. And the darkness is past. But we pray that the true light will shine upon our lives. Mm-hmm. Will shine upon our lives.
Amen.
Let clean waters will fall upon us. The strength of our faith. Lord, that you will raise the teaching priest in the land.
Yes.
You will restore to us the prophetic voice. Lord, that the apostolic one will not be taken away from us.
Amen.
Lord, that you restore the ministry of the shepherd. Of the evangelist, O God. he that goeth for bearing good news upon the different mountains of Israel. We pray, O God, that you will strengthen their weakness upon the earth, O God. That you will raise up a remnant. Lord, that you will encourage us, O God, to be among them that do not slide back.
Amen.
The Lord, that will be numbered among those that remnant that press on.
Amen.
To the saving of
yes.
souls. So that one will raise up his hand and son name himself after the Lord. He said that there was this angel that stood upon the earth and put another foot upon the sea. And he opened the book in his hand. And he raised up his hand and sworn. Hallelujah. And we realize that there is such a movement to say time no more. Such a movement to cause the seven trumpets to go forth, O God. Lord, that there will be a jerking of our eyes. Lord, that our focus will be changed. We pray, O God, that you might touch our soul. Touch us in the inward
part.
And let there be a change.
Yes.
A jerking of our eyes, O God.
Amen.
For so we shall be changed.
Hallelujah.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Hallelujah.
At the last drop.
Amen.
For this corruptible shall put on
immortality.
And this mortality shall put on immortality. And this weakly beggarly business soul shall rise up, O God, and shall be translated into the very gardens of God, into the very palaces of God, into the very presence of God, as the cherubims, O God, that we shall behold your face, O God. It shall be our nature to behold you. We shall feed upon your presence, upon the pleasure of your goodness, O God. The one say, I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, that the house of the Lord will be a place of strength, O God.
Amen.
Be a place of healing.
Amen.
Lord, that you will heal Jerusalem. You will heal Zion, O God.
Oh, yeah.
You will restore the walls of Jerusalem and the walls of Zion. You will restore the watchmen upon the walls, O God. You will restore the eyes. You restore the ears. You restore the feet. Lord, restore this man. Let this man stand, O God. This second Adam, he stand upon the earth, O God. Hallelujah. That Lord, that his generation shall not be cut off. Rather, his generation shall be established upon the earth. The generation of the last Adam, even Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, O God. We thank you, O God. Lord, we come to say the winter is past.
Yeah.
We desire to be part of this spring, O God.
Amen.
This springtime, this time of planting, of rising up into this new beginning. Lord, we just receive grace and strength in our hearts to be partakers, O God. And you say, other sheep have I that has not even here. We ask, O God, that the same witness will be ministered in Zion, O God. In all the rains and cuts of Zion, O God. I shall be a witness. It shall be trumpeted. It shall be sounded. That the alarm will be sounded, O God. That the mighty men will be woken up. Say, wake up the mighty men.
Amen.
Prepare war, O God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. We say, blow the alarm in my holy man. Sound an alarm. We declare the alarm, O God.
Mm-hmm.
Even that this cry will be strong in our hearts. Lord, we will hear it very clearly.
Amen.
The sound of trumpet and the alarm of war. For Jeremiah say, I have heard it, O God. Oh, my soul. The sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war.
Oh, yes.
Lord, we receive the grace to treat us like men.
Amen.
We receive the grace to rise up from the place of diversion, of being easily distracted, easily diverted, easily discouraged, easily turned around, O God. Lord, there will be such that lay our hand upon the plow, and we will not look back, O God. Lord, we receive grace. We receive grace to press on, O God. Let the vision be made anew. Write the vision afresh, O God. Let it be clear, and let that be strength to run. Bless them here. Be that exalted, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.